Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, Chapter 7, Chapter entitled The Son of Drona Punished. Text number 9. Shonaka Uvarcha Savai Nivritti Nirata Savatro Pekshako Muni Kashyava Brihatim Metam Atma Rama Samabhyasa Shonaka Uvarcha. Sri Shonaka asked, Saha, he, Vai, of course, Nibriti, path of self-realization. Nirata, always engaged. Savatra, in every respect. Upekshaka, indifferent. Muni, sage. Kasya, for what reason? Va, Brihatim, vast. Etam, this. Atmarama, one who is pleased in himself. Samabhyasat, undergo the studies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shonaka asked Suta Goswami, Sri Shukadeva Goswami was already on the path of self-realization, and thus he was pleased with his own self. So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature? Translation responsibly. Sri Shonaka asked Suta Goswami. Sri Shukadeva Goswami was already on the path of self-realization. And thus he was pleased with his own self. So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature? Purport. For the people in general, the highest perfection of life is to cease from material activities and be fixed on the path of self-realization. Those who take pleasure in sense enjoyment, or those who are fixed in material bodily welfare work, are called karmis. Out of thousands and millions of such karmis, one may become an Atmarama by self-realization. Atma means self, and arama means to take pleasure. Everyone is searching after the highest pleasure, but the standard of pleasure of one may be different from the standard of another. Therefore, the standard of pleasure enjoyed by the karmis is different from that of the Atmaramas. The Atmaramas are completely indifferent to material enjoyment in every respect. Srila Sukadeva Goswami had already attained that stage, and still he was attracted to undergo the trouble of studying the great Bhagavatam literature. This means that Srimad Bhagavatam is a postgraduate study even for the Atmaramas, who have surpassed all the studies of Vedic literature. Omagyana Timilandasya Ginunjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Vancha Kaupati Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the Vedas teach us that every living entity is looking for happiness, pleasure. Ananda Mayo Vyasat. It is the nature of a living entity to be happy. Hands up if you want to be happy. It's natural. Everyone wants to be happy. No one wants to be miserable. It's an unnatural condition. Although in the material world, people become attached to misery. They actually enjoy being miserable. They become attached to it. You see that people are suffering, but they're attached to that suffering. And even you see sometimes relationships break down, for example, between a man and a woman, and there's so much quarrel, and even sometimes there is physical violence like that, but they're so attached, even to the suffering, that they just want to keep the relationship going, even under those circumstances. And they become even attached to suffering. They actually enjoy the suffering in the material world. And they get a taste from it. Whereas in the natural state of consciousness, no one likes to suffer. It is unnatural. Everyone is looking after happiness. Or factually speaking, ananda. Ananda means bliss. And it is described by Mahaprabhu, ananda, anandam buddhi varatanam, that spiritual life is an ever-increasing ocean of bliss, eternally expanding. We are continuously experiencing greater and greater bliss in the spiritual world, in relationship with Krishna. Krishna himself is continuously experiencing greater bliss. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He says that the gopis, they become pleased when they see Krishna is happy with their offerings of service. So then they begin to smile more with more pleasure. And then Krishna, seeing their happiness, he begins to smile with more pleasure. And then they see, oh, Krishna is even more happy, so then they begin to smile. So it is an ever-increasing, ever-expanding ocean of bliss. That is the spiritual world. It is not stagnant. Prabhupada said it is not static, it is ecstatic. That is the nature of the material, the spiritual world. The nature of the soul is to be ecstatic. If you're not feeling ecstatic, then you are not in your natural state of consciousness. Hands up if you feel ecstatic. Hands up if you feel ecstatic. One, two, three. Okay, three ecstatic devotees. Okay, so only three devotees are following the practices properly. It means the rest of us are not getting with the program. The rest of us are not following the practices properly. Because if you are not feeling blissful or ecstatic, that means there's some misapplication of the process. It means there's something you're not following properly. And what it most probably means is that you're not chanting properly. Because if you're chanting properly, you will feel ecstatic. You will feel blissful in Krishna consciousness. You always feel enthused. It is the nature of the soul because spirit... And the soul is constituted of spirit. Spirit is constituted of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. And Rupa Goswami teaches us that spiritual life, to be successful, we must have three qualities. Utsaha, nishchaya, dharya. So these correlate to those three elements of spirit. Bliss means Satchit Ananda. Ananda means bliss. If you are feeling bliss from the spiritual platform, from the Daivi Prakriti, from the Bhakti Shakti, if you are feeling bliss, then you will be enthusiastic. You will feel enthusiasm, naturally. If you are in touch with the spiritual energy, with Krishna's internal energy, the Hladini Shakti, or the bliss potency, you will feel enthusiastic. And you see, devotees who are enthusiastic, that means they are feeling or experiencing the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Just like you see Srila Prabhupada, how enthusiastic was Prabhupada? Right? Unlimitedly enthusiastic. Why? Because he was experiencing bliss from contact with Krishna in devotional service. And then there is patience. Patience comes from eternality. Because if you understand you're eternal, you will be very patient. If you understand that you are eternal by nature, then you will be patient. Things may take time. Just like in spiritual life, it does not happen automatically. You can't expect to become a pure devotee tomorrow. Hands up if you have become a pure devotee yet. Hands up if you're planning to become a pure devotee. Good. Hands up if you thought you'd be a pure devotee by now. Yeah, when I joined, I thought I'd be a pure devotee in about, you know, a couple of years or 5 months or something. Or, you know, I just thought that's what happened. I thought you join and then you just, you know, dive into this Krishna consciousness. You just dance and chant ecstatically around the streets of Melbourne. And then, you know, all my material desires will be gone within a couple of years. No problem. And I'll be a pure devotee. And then I realized after a couple of years that that might take a little bit longer. And now I've been doing it for a couple of decades, and now I'm realizing it might take a little bit longer. So you have to be patient. Right? And it's a test. It's not easy to be patient, especially in this day and age. People, one thing which Kali Yuga has destroyed in people is patience. People are not very patient anymore. You see, because of the way the world was previously, people were very patient because it took time to do things. Just like if you wanted to take bath, just like sometimes you go to India in the village, if you want to take bath, you have to go down to the polka or the kund, or you have to go to the well and get the water. These days, you know, we just jump into the shower, just turn on the tap and it's automatic. You know, and then we're like, tum, 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 tum. Like, that's our life. You know, do this, do that, do that, do that, do that. You know, I have the mobile phone and the computer and, you know, doing the whole thing. And, you know, but this is unnatural, actually. And therefore, people are not patient. And then they think, why is spiritual life not working? You know, why am I a pure devotee yet? I'm doing everything. It should be just do, 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 do. It doesn't work like that. You have to be patient. Krishna says, shanti, shanti. Krishna says, just relax. It takes time. So you have to be patient. And that's the test. Because what happens is devotees become unenthused, or they become despondent or disheartened because things aren't going quickly enough, or because their material desires suddenly come back. Just like Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur says, just like when sex life rears its ugly head, just like a dragon, you know, a dragon lifts its head up, or a snake lifts its head up. So Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur says, sometimes sex life rears its ugly head. You're just walking down the street and then suddenly you turn around, oh my God, you know, ready, you know, ready to jump on you with it. And he thought, oh, I thought that was gone. Or I thought that was much less now. But suddenly it's very strong again. Like that. So then devotees become disenthused. And then what happens is sometimes senior devotees in our movement, they leave the movement. They stop following the process. Just like we saw recently, the GBC of Australia has taken a step back in devotional service. And we're praying that he can continue in devotional service, that Krishna will protect him. Krishna will protect him, but we pray that he will have the strength to continue in his devotional service. But you see, devotees have been following for a long time who are advanced Vaishnavas, and they have difficulty in the process, and then devotees lose enthusiasm. And devotees think, well, if they can't do it, then I can't do it. They're so advanced, I'm not so advanced, they can't do it, then what hope do I have? So our enthusiasm is attacked all the time in devotional service. So devotees, we have to learn to be patient. And then sometimes, then devotees say, well, if they can't do it, I can't do it. What is the point? Why should I continue? But the point is, we have to continue. And at the end of the day, Srila Prabhupada says, in one of the purports in the Bhagavatam, he says, at the end of the day, you have to fly your own plane in Krishna consciousness. Right? Have you ever flown a plane? Hands up if you've ever flown a plane. None of us are pilots. We haven't flown a plane, but you're flying a plane. Right? Say, or you're driving a car, similar thing, but plane's more, you know, because you're in the air and you're coming down. It's not so easy. So you're flying that plane. So before you get into the cockpit, there's hours and hours and hours and hours of training which go behind that. Just like after, I remember 2001, then the Twin Towers were attacked by the pilots. They hijacked the plane and they drove. So then a couple of weeks later, one of these Muslim people that were in America, because they were all hiding, like undercover, he went into the pilot training center and he said, "I don't want to learn how to land or to take off, I just want to learn how to fly." And the guy said, "Okay, just give me your phone number." So I wrote down the phone number, rang the CIA and said, "We've got one of these guys here." So they came and arrested him. Not very intelligent. "I don't want to land, I don't want to take off, I just want to learn how to fly." So the point is that when you're flying a plane, then there is hours and hours and hours and hours of training before you have to get into the cockpit and fly. But at the end of the day, there's only one person who is responsible. Your spiritual master, your spiritual masters, and the Vaishnavas, and Krishna in the form of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, they will give you unlimited support and training up until that point. You will get unlimited help. But at the end of the day, it's only all the responsibility goes onto one person, and it's you. Right? And that's a scary thought. You know. And, you know, I realize the more I stay in devotional service, the more I realize how unqualified I am. And then you get a little bit nervous because then you think, okay, it's all on me. I've got to get to the end of this life and I have to be sufficiently ridden of my material attachments and sufficiently attached to Krishna so that I can transcend this material world once and for all and go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Right? And that's a big mission. Right? You think other things are difficult in life. You know, you think it's hard working at your job or running a marriage or bringing up a family or running a temple or washing the pots or making the milk sweets or making it. You think all these things are difficult. You know, the real challenge is going to be the time of death because we're going to be tested. Right? So it's not an easy thing. No? But it means that we have to have hours and hours and hours and hours of practice leading up to that moment. And that is what the whole process of Krishna consciousness is. What is Krishna's final instruction in Bhagavad Gita? What's the last thing he says? Manmana Baba Madhbhakto Madhyaji Mannamaskuru. Last thing Krishna says, practically. Right? Manmana, think of me. That's the test. So what is the whole process that we're following? The whole process is that we're practicing to think of Krishna each day, from now until the time we die. Right? It says in my palm that I will live to my 80s. Right? So I'm 42 now, so I'm halfway home. Right? So that means if I live a natural life, and if I live as long as they say I will, right, then it means I've got 40 years to practice each day remembering Krishna. But it may be cut short. Maybe today's my last day. Maybe tomorrow's my last day. Maybe next week's my last day. Or I may live to 90 or whatever it is. But the point is we have to learn to bring Krishna into our consciousness on a daily basis. Right? It is not that just in the morning I come to the temple, I'm in the temple, now I'm thinking of Krishna to some degree. You know, I'm thinking of Krishna and I'm thinking of breakfast. You know, even now, like we're in the Bhagavatam class, our thoughts get mixed. We think of all sorts of things. And then by the time we get out of the class and we leave the temple, then our mind goes into so many other thoughts. You have to learn to think of Krishna all the time, is what Krishna says. And it has to become natural, not like superimposed. And one devotee in Vrindavan, he gave a very nice example. You see the Matajis in the morning in India, in the villages, they go down to the well and they fill up the water pots. And then they put the pots on their head. Have you seen them? And they put one pot and then they bend down and then they put another pot on top of that. And sometimes you can see the third little pot. Right? And then they stand up and they start walking back. So they're walking home, and it's amazing, especially for me, because I can't do that. You know, it's amazing. And they just walk and they're just talking and they're just moving around, and they've got, you know, this thing's just on their head, you know, and they're just walking and talking and just doing their thing and like that. So the whole time they're walking, they're completely conscious of what's going on. But at the same time, they're doing everything else. They're talking to the other women, and they're all talking, and they're saying, yes. And they're not wobbling their head. But they're all talking, and they're saying yes, and they're talking about what's happening in the village, and what happened to your son, and they're talking about everything. And so their mind is in the world, they're doing what they need to do. But at the same time, they're constantly meditating on what's there. So one devotee was explaining, this is what Krishna consciousness is. We do everything in the world, and actually Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, told Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, you have to do it even better than what the materialists do it. In other words, you have to do your worldly responsibilities even better than what the materialists do it. And Lord Chaitanya said to Rupa and Sanatana, he said, just like a paramour, just like if you have a relationship, extramarital relationship. So you're having an affair. So you don't want your husband or wife to know that you're having an affair. So therefore you do everything around the house even better. So they don't detect. Right? But in your mind, you're thinking of your paramour. Right? You're continuously thinking of this other person. So Lord Chaitanya said, you must be like that. He said that you must do whatever you do in this world perfectly, very responsibly. Devotees should be the best. We should do everything perfectly in this material world. All of our responsibilities, all of our duties, all of our service should be done to the best of our ability. But in our mind, we're always thinking of Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, man mana bhava mapa. So you have to learn to do this. It takes a great deal of practice. You have to learn to think of Krishna. Now, how do we think of Krishna? Right. You have to think of Krishna with attachment. Krishna says in the first verse of this seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, asakti. Now, interesting, if you look at Prabhupada's lectures on the Bhagavad Gita, which verse did Prabhupada speak the most on? Prabhupada gave many, many lectures, hundreds of lectures on Bhagavad Gita. Which verse did Prabhupada speak the most when he gave class? Seventh chapter, first verse, where Krishna is speaking about asakti. And the second most common verse that Prabhupada would speak on was 9.1, first verse of the ninth chapter. Interesting. Much more, actually, than the other verses. If you look at the other verses, they spread out, but those two verses spoke about a lot. 7.1 was the most common. So Krishna is saying, become attached to me. It has to become an attachment. In other words, and this was something every year for the last 9 years, I've gone to Vrindavan in Kartik, and I go to the, for the last 9 years, I go to the Govardhan retreat, and now they also do the Japa retreat at Vashana with His Holiness Sachinandan Swami and His Grace Burujan Prabhu, and Jagatarini Mataji, and many advanced devotees go. So I've been going to those retreats for many years, and His Holiness Sachinandan Swami was telling us last year that we have to become attached to Krishna. It has to become sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. We have to develop a relationship with Krishna. He has to become a real part of our life. So that means you have to hear about Krishna. You have to hear about Him. That's why in 1970, Srila Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book. And from the very beginning of our movement, right, it was our movement was very strict in the beginning. Right? Very strict. Everyone went to Mangalati in the 1970s. Everyone went to Mangalati. Right? These days, you know, people come in late, you know, kind of like walking in, you know. Everyone went to Mangalati like that. Everyone stayed for the whole morning program. not this in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out, like that. My spiritual master said one time, if you just stay in the temple or in Prabhupada's room, where the Mataji's chant, but you just stay in the temple or Prabhupada's room, from 4:30 in the morning till 8:30 in the morning, your spiritual life is going to be okay. But devotees get this whole thing of going in and out and in and out and in and out, and, you know, unless you have to go and pass water or get a drink or something, but otherwise you should just stay. Stay in the kirtan. Where is everyone in the kirtan? Huh? You all go out and then you come in. I mean, we're all busy, that's a fact. But, you know, when I was a brahmachari at least, we just stayed for the whole program. Because we were the program. You know, back then there was only about four or five of us. Every day, just like coming to the program every day. 4:30 in the morning till 8:30 in the morning, we were just in the temple. That's what we did. We all chanted our rounds here. We didn't all space out and chant our rounds all over Albert Park. You know, purifying the neighborhood. You know, we just chanted in here in the temple. What's wrong? You know, is this not a nice place to chant? I chanted many, 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 many rounds in this temple. I love to chant in this temple. And this temple is the spiritual world. Prabhupada said the entire spiritual world is in the four walls of this temple. Navadvip, Vrindavan, Puri, Dwarka, everything is here in this temple. But you'd rather go down to Little Page Street and, you know, chant down the back somewhere. No. This is where to chant. So, we would stay the whole time, you know, in the temple, chant around, stay for the whole Guru Puja, stay for the whole... And this morning for Guru Puja, you know, what is the standard? I was speaking about this last night also in the Bhakti Bhai Bhav class. Standards are dropping. It's not good. When Prabhupada's Guru Puja starts, right, a devotee should be ready to blow the conch and offer the adi to Prabhupada, and devotees who are playing kartals and mridanga, and everyone should be ready. You know, these days everyone's still down the back, you know, getting their charanamrita and spacing out and talking and going, you know, like that. It's not respectful. Prabhupada's sitting there waiting, and everyone should be ready by the time the Guru Puja begins. You know, it's like it's very spaced out. Even greeting the deities is very spaced out these days compared to when, you know, when I joined, like we'd all greet the deities, we'd all be there waiting for the doors to open. These days, like, everyone's running in at the last minute and coming late, and it's not, it should not be like that, right? In Chaupati, in India, in many devotees' opinion, the best temple in our movement, all the brahmacharis, if they're not in the temple 3 minutes before Mangalati, because there's a book, and the book has all your names in it. So as you come in the temple, you have to tick your name. Next to your name, you have to tick to say that you were here 3 minutes. And they take the book away 3 minutes before Mangalati. And if you come late, if your name is not ticked, then your punishment is you have to write the Maha Mantra 108 times and hand it into the senior devotees. And these days, everyone's so spaced out. You know, you'd be spending your whole life writing the Maha Mantra. You wouldn't have any other service to do. coming late and doing what you're doing, and like that. So it should be a proper standard. Like that. So we are meant to become attached to Krishna. So in 1970, Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book, and Satchinandan Swami was making this point that devotees, they have to become attached to Krishna. How do you become attached to him? You have to learn about him. You should know the Krishna book inside and out. Who is the first demon that Krishna kills in Vrindavan? No? Putana. First demon is Putana. Who is the second demon? Shakata. Who is the third demon? Who's after Shakata? Trinavarta. You should know these things. You should know all the details about Krishna. Right? Who, you know the details about so many people in this world. Right? But at the time of death, if you're absorbed your consciousness in those people, then simply you will take birth again. Just like Michael Jackson passed away a couple of years ago. Right? So there's like a whole cult, and there's some people, they think of him all the time, they dress up like him, you know, they walk around with white gloves on, you know, their consciousness is just absorbed. So what will they do when they take birth again? Where will they go? They'll go to Michael Locker. You know, everyone wears white gloves. You know, and in the morning everyone goes, ooh. And does all that. Yeah, everyone says, Shema. Yeah, everyone's moonwalking. You know. Yeah, with your white glove on. You know. But there's people, they absorb their whole consciousness in this. You know, when I was a kid, you know, Star Wars, the movie? I've seen Star Wars 50 times when I was a kid. I can tell you every line in that movie. You know, if my brother comes around to my house, I go to see my brother. We can sit there, we can do the whole movie without even turning it on. You know? So your consciousness is already full of so many things. Right? There's so many things inside your mind. But what will you think of at the time of death? You know, if you think of Darth Vader, then where will you go? To a planetary system far, far away. It's all in our consciousness. So many things are in our consciousness. We're attached to so many things in this world. So many things enter out, especially these days, it's insidious. How much opportunity there is to get into Maya. You don't even have to leave your home anymore to get into Maya. Back in the old days, you had to go to the movies. These days, the movies, you can just download them all right in your own home. You don't even have to leave. It's all there. You know, you just turn on the internet and then it's all there. It's Maya's, and it's entering our consciousness. And then at the time of death, if we're meditating on these things, then we will go to a different destination. But if we learn to love Krishna, if we become attached to Krishna, if we learn all the details about Krishna, then at the time of death we can think of Krishna. That is the goal of life. Krishna says, Manmana, think of me. Right? Think of me. Oh, so what am I going to think about? You have to learn about him. There's unlimited knowledge. Prabhupada says in the very first purport of the Bhagavatam, 111, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, Prabhupada said we should study all of the books of the previous Acharyas. Right? Alongside Srila Prabhupada's books. There is unlimited information about Krishna. And Krishna, Prabhupada writes in his purports, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has written books like Krishna Bhavanamrita. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He also wrote another book called the Govinda Lilamrita, which tells about Krishna's pastimes, Ashtakali Lila. Right? All these books are available. Under the guidance of your spiritual masters, then you must study these books and you must fill your mind with thoughts of Krishna. This is the goal. It is necessary for devotees to cultivate a relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, you will lose enthusiasm over due course of time. I remember my spiritual master said many years ago, one of the main reasons why devotees leave the Hare Krishna movement is they haven't sufficiently become attached to Krishna. And Satchinandan Swami was saying this. It's even a problem in our movement now, after our movement's been going for how long? How long has ISKCON been going? 45 years? Nearly 50 years, something like that. 65 is our anniversary, right? So it's almost 50 years since ISKCON started. So Satchinandan Swami was saying that it's almost sometimes in ISKCON there's like a phobia. Don't talk about Krishna. Someone starts talking about Krishna and they say, hey, don't talk about Krishna. You know, that's esoteric. You know, that's very advanced. Don't talk about Krishna. You know, it's like, it's unnatural. We should be talking about Krishna. Right? You see, Srila Prabhupada, if you read the Lilamrita in the late 70s, like 75, 76, Prabhupada would be in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada, generally, he would go to bed at, say, 10 o'clock, 10:30. And what time would Prabhupada wake up? 12:30, without an alarm clock. Right? Why don't you try this program for 1 week? See what it does to you. Right? I can do it for about a day. I can go to bed 10, get up at 12, and I'll probably last about a day. And the day after, I'll probably sleep until about 12 in the afternoon. through, you know, it's just, we're not like that. Prabhupada was like that. He just get up, you know, 2 hours rest, and without an alarm clock, just wake up, ready to serve Krishna. And Prabhupada actually said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said that it requires practice. Even Prabhupada said it requires practice to minimize your sleeping, to minimize your eating, to maximize your time that you're serving Krishna. You have to practice your sadhana and reduce these things over time. And then Prabhupada would spend 4, 5, 6 hours writing his commentaries, his purports, 4:30 to 4:30, 5:30, 6, like that. He would be writing his purports. Then Prabhupada would take his full bath. In the morning when he got up, he would just wash hands and mouth and do like that. Then he would take his full bath. And then quite often he'd go on his morning walk, like that. And then he'd come back and he'd give Bhagavatam class in the temple. Then he would have little fruits, some small light breakfast, he'd have some fruits and things. And then in the morning, then he would begin to manage ISKCON. How much service he was doing, right? Manage ISKCON. And then he would have his lunch. And Prabhupada was so punctual, so everything had to be on time. One Mataji was telling us in Vrindavan, she was cooking for Prabhupada, one of Prabhupada's disciples. And Prabhupada, he would say he wanted lunch at 12 o'clock. So one day, she would always have it on time, because Prabhupada was very particular about everything being punctual. So one time, things were a little bit late, she came in at 3 minutes past 12. She walked in. And Prabhupada was sitting there, she opened the door and she was carrying Prabhupada's plate, and Prabhupada was just sitting there looking at the door. And she was struck, because Prabhupada was not happy. She was 3 minutes late. And Prabhupada said, I've been waiting for 12 years. That's Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to us one time, he said, do you think it was easy being around Prabhupada? You know, do you think it was something like, oh, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada was very, he was intense, like that. So he would take his lunch, and then in the afternoon, then he would take his massage before lunch, he'd have his massage, and then after lunch he would rest, sometimes for half an hour, like that. And then, in the afternoon, quite often, you read in the Leelamrita, then Prabhupada would say to the devotees, let us go out into the courtyard and read Krishna book. So in Vrindavan, in the afternoon, Prabhupada, 3 in the afternoon, he would just go out into the courtyard, out the back of his house, and he would sit there, and devotees would come and say, just read Krishna book. To teach us to fix our mind upon Krishna. And devotees would say, where should we read from? Prabhupada would say, anywhere. So a devotee in Vrindavan, one time they started reading the pastime where Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. So then Krishna is driving away and he's being pursued by Shishupal, Jarasandha, they all chase after him. Because Rukmini, she was going to, the day before her wedding, she was going to visit the temple of Durga. So then Krishna just rides in on a chariot, just takes her hand, puts her on the chariot, and just drives off. Right? And Shishupala and Jarasandha, they're all just, you know, what's he doing? You know, who is this? Vasudeva. He's coming, he's taken Rukmini. So everyone just runs, gets their armor, gets their weapons, jumps on the chariots, and they just chase. So they're chasing Krishna and Rukmini, and Krishna and Rukmini are going. And then Srila Prabhupada says, because then it's not in the Krishna book, that then Prabhupada interjected. And he said, yes. And then Krishna handed the reins of the chariot to Rukmini. And he said, you drive the chariot. Because the Kshatriya women were also trained. The princesses, they were trained to drive the chariots. So he said, you drive the chariot. And then he took his bow, Shanga, right? And then he began to fight from the back of the chariot with the army who was coming. So Prabhupada, he could see what was happening. So he was teaching us we have to become absorbed in Krishna. What's the point of our Krishna consciousness if we're not attached to Krishna? And the only way you can become attached to him is you have to know about him in minute detail. You have to know all the details about Krishna. And then your mind thinks of him. During your day, you're doing your service. You're washing the floor right here in the temple, you know, sweeping the floor. But then you think, at this moment, Radha and Krishna in particular pastimes in Vrindavan. And I could be, in my mind, I could be cleaning the floor because they're going to arrive very soon. They're coming. They could be here in a few minutes. I have to get everything ready for them. So in your mind, you're in the spiritual world. Externally, you may look like you're in this world with everyone else. But in your mind, you can be with Krishna right now. This is called sadhana. Actually, it's called Raganuga sadhana. And it's what we're meant to be practicing. We're meant to come to the platform of Rag, where it's all spontaneous. We're in the mind, we're thinking of Krishna. Do you think you'll just do Vaidhi Bhakti forever? Do you think you'll just get on the altar and do Mangaladi for the deities and you go 4, 2, 3, 7, 4, 2? And Krishna's looking at you and he goes to Radharani. He counts very nicely. Very good counter. What do you think everyone's doing in the spiritual world? Krishna comes, everyone's 4, 2, 3, 7. It's not like that in the spiritual world. Everyone's out of love, they're offering. The gopis don't count. The gopis offering the chamari to Krishna. And we offer 7 times. It says in the Shastra we should offer an appropriate amount of times. So we offer 7 times. Gopis aren't going 1, 2, 17, 164, 1,009. They're not counting. They're just doing it out of love for Krishna. Like that. We practice our sadhana like this. But in due course of time, everything has to change inside the mind, in the heart. And it has to be done out of affection for Krishna. I'm not doing this for Krishna because I have to do it. Because my name's on the roster. I have to do Mangalati. I'm doing it because I want to do Mangalati. I want to worship him. I want to show them my affection. So we have to learn about Krishna. Prabhupada on Janmashtami in 1970, you read in the Lilamrita, they were flying from America to India and they stopped over in Japan and they went to see Dai Nippon. They were getting Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita printed. So then, this is a different pastime. But then they went into the office and there was all the Dai Nippon company heads, so they were all there, the executives of the Dai Nippon. And Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj were sitting on the other side. Tamal Krishna Maharaj wasn't Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he was a Grihastha. So he was with Prabhupada. They were sitting on one side of the table, and there was about 7 or 8 of these executives of the company sitting on there. So then Prabhupada taught Tamal Krishna Maharaj how to do the Indian system of bartering, how to bargain. Someone, like, you go to the shop, and someone says, it costs 100 rupees, and you say, I'll give you 20 rupees. And then the person in the shop goes, that's ridiculous, like that. And then everyone starts bartering in between. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was taught by Prabhupada like that. So he went in and the company said, okay, we'll print the Bhagavad Gita for this much. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said this ridiculous price. No, we'll just pay, they said $10,000. He said, no, we'll pay $2,000. And the Japanese, they're not used to this kind of... So they were like melting down. They're like, oh my god, what's going on here? So they're like, it's hot, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was in, they're going out. Prabhupada just sat there, right, for I don't know how long it went on for 20 minutes or half an hour. Prabhupada just sat there, didn't say a word. And then at the end, Prabhupada said, I think we should make everyone happy. So he said, okay, we'll make this price. He said Prabhupada was like the mediator.